Stephanie L. Kimbrough, is an attorney in Wilmington, North Carolina. She talks about the virtual law office and her role as a virtual attorney. This is different from a virtual assistant. Listen and learn how you can adopt some of the aspects of the virtual law office into your practice during these tough economic times.
Stephanie, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to our interview.
Thank you for having me.
You are a virtual law office specialist, as I understand it. So let me ask you to start off, what is a virtual law office?
Well, a virtual law office is it's a web-based law office, and it's a professional law practice, and it exists online through a secure portal, and it's accessible by the attorney and the clients anywhere the parties can access the Internet. So I have my own virtual law office, and my clients are across the state of North Carolina, where I'm licensed to practice law, and I practice from home. It's a strictly web-based system.
So in other words, you never see a client?
No.
And the nature of the practice is limited to what kind of practice? Some practices, isn't it better to actually see the client than other practice areas?
Yes, there are some. I also co-founded the company Virtual Law Office Technology, and some of the attorneys that we're working with to set up virtual law offices have practices where they do litigation-heavy practices. So they have a traditional law office, physical law office, and then they use the virtual law office as an amenity to their traditional law practice. So I do estate planning, small business assistance through my practice, but we have attorneys nationwide. They're doing different types of law practices, immigration, family law, like I said, criminal, just a wide variety. And they're either doing it as a completely web-based system like my law office, or they're integrating it with their own practice, traditional practice.
Well, I understand if you are one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand if you've got a physical office and people come see you from time to time, and you may use the Internet, and by Internet, I guess what I'm talking about is email, to transmit documents back and forth, to have discussion back and forth that does not require personal presence. And I think I understand what you mean by a virtual office where you're kind of in a cubbyhole and you never see a client. And perhaps like estate planning, you can just ask them what it is that they want. You can prepare documents and send it back to them and instruct them on how to sign it. But what is it where you're talking about having a physical office and a virtual office? Are we really talking about the same thing, or are we talking about different things?
Well, the virtual law office is a software. It's a software as a service product. So it can be used as law practice management software in addition to the other programs you're using, or it can be used separately. Because it's not just the client goes online, tells you what they need, you send the documents to them, sort of the legal form-generated legal documents like a LegalZoom.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a personalized experience for the client. They have their own homepage. There's a discussion section that's separate that stays up there that they see the entire discussion between themselves and the attorney. It's all encrypted, too, so it's more secure than email, electronic communications. They're invoiced. They can see their invoices, their charges for legal services online. You can set up different payment plans through them for them on there. It's a whole system, so it can be used, as it is my, for example, my entire law office is in the system. On the attorney side, I have my accounting, my billing, my law library that's connected with my research and my cases. It's all in the one system, but if you were an attorney and you had a physical law office, you could use the technology along with whatever other legal software program you're using, or if you're, you know, your practice has been using, Abacus for years, or another program that you, you know, you have your entire history in, you can continue to use that and just use the virtual law office aspect to expand your client base to the entire state where you practice law.
So, in other words, if I'm hearing you correctly, there is a piece of software that is branded, and it's called Virtual Law Office Technology. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and where does one find this software?
We have a website. It's Velotech, for short. It's www.vlotech.com. More information about, you know, the product is on there. But I also have a blog that I write because I'm interested in the whole concept of virtual law practice, not just with our software that we created, which allows an attorney to do it sort of the all-in-one package. But there are a lot of attorneys out there who are, you know, piecemeal putting together technologies to practice law online, and I'm sort of interested in the delivery of legal services using these technologies.
How is what you've done different than, say, Abacus or Amicus or any of the law practice management integrated packages that are out there?
It was designed strictly for the virtual law practitioner. It has, for example, one of the big ethics concerns with virtual law practices, the unauthorized practice of law in other jurisdictions, because your VLO, your virtual law office, is on a website,
mm-hmm.
Which can be viewed anywhere. And we have built into the software a jurisdiction check. It sends up red flags, you know, to let the client, prospective client, and the attorney know, you know, if they're located in if they're a resident of a state that's other than what the attorney's licensed in. We have conflict of interest checks set up inside that can import your client and other party data from other systems you have into your VLO, so that when you're running checks on online clients, you're also checking everyone else you've also worked with. It's just customized for attorneys that are doing web-based practice.
And how would this be different than if you're on site? I mean, you still have to do the same conflicts check, don't you? If somebody comes into your office in North Carolina, say, and they're from South Carolina or Illinois or wherever, and they just happen to be there, they come into your office, don't you still have to say, well, wait a minute, I can only do that which pertains to North Carolina?
Mm-hmm. But it is a lot of the state bar associations, when they, in their advertising rules, and the regulations, especially the regulations regarding website content, they really emphasize that for website content that you say exactly, provide adequate notice over and over again of where you're licensed to practice law.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, the software is just customized to take those rules and regulations into consideration that kind of force the attorney as they're using the software to go through all the different checks.
Now, if I'm in North Carolina with you and somebody comes from out of state and the matter is in state, you can still handle it, correct?
Yes.
But if it's an out-of-state matter, let's say it's an estate plan where the person is resident of Illinois, the rules prevent you from creating that one,
right.
Correct?
Right.
Well, if you, by putting in the address of the individual, and the individual's address is Illinois, does your system still permit you to do the practice, to create the documents?
Yes.
Or are you saying it absolutely prohibits you from creating it?
No, it doesn't. I've had clients, cases like this myself. I had a client from Ohio, for example, who owned real estate here in North Carolina. And when she registered with her Ohio residence. But I... just like anybody that walks into your traditional law practice, you know, you're going to consider all their circumstances, and her issue was clearly related to North Carolina law, so I was able to work with her. The system doesn't prevent me from handling those legal cases, it just notifies the client, prospective client, gives them another red flag just to let them know. And then it tells me as well, you need to pay extra attention to what this legal case is regarding, because it may be, a law in another jurisdiction.
So in your system, though, you're saying that not only is the lawyer notified, but the client is notified.
Yes, prospective client.
And that's something that does not happen in a normal situation when you're dealing face-to-face. The client is not made aware unless the attorney tells the client.
Well,
correct?
I think we did that because one of the things about that a lot of the state bar rules require is this adequate notice to the client, so that they know who the, especially with a virtual office, because you're not meeting face-to-face, they need to know who they're working with, and that this attorney's only licensed in this state, and it just lets them know.
No, I understand that that's what the software is doing from what you're saying.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that goes one step beyond what the traditional law practice does.
Right.
Am I correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, because there's no way the client is going to know that there's an issue there unless the attorney brings it up. But in your case with the VLO technology,
right,
the client is actually informed of it.
Right, and then the attorney online there's an online database, referral database within the VLO, so the attorney can refer that client then. If the issue cannot be handled by the online attorney, then they can refer them to another virtual law office that is, handling that state law.
That's interesting. That suggests to me that your system has been up for a while and somewhat organized, yet I've never heard of it. So how do you get attorneys in other parts of the country to join in and participate with you and possibly have referral sources?
Well, I've been practicing for 3 years and on my virtual law office. And my network, I built my own attorney. Each individual virtual law office builds its own referral database. So I've just built mine up over 3 years just through networking. Since I do completely work from the web-based system, most of my networking is with other attorneys who are comfortable with using technology. So I've just built a pretty decent database, referral database.
Okay. So it's not built in with the system.
No.
Every lawyer does their own referral system or database network.
No, because there's no way to know. I mean, yeah, no.
Okay, because that's what the next question obviously would have been. Well, how do you know who they are and what their standards of competence are?
That would be why we would not do that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. In terms of the VOL technology, what is its cost? How do you get to it? And what's the economic benefit for the lawyer?
The technology, it's a hosted system, software as a service, and the attorney starts out by having created a website or a blog for their virtual law practice, or it's their existing law office website, and they contact us, and we integrate our software into their website or blog, and right now the monthly cost to host the VLO, the secure site, is $260 a month per attorney, user license, with a $500 setup fee. And like I said, they can go online to read more about the details of, everything that the user license includes, but that provides the entire system. And the return on investment is pretty good because your overhead is so low. If you're running an entire virtual law office, you're not paying a lease for a physical law office. Everything's digital, so I don't have, many paper office supplies to have to pay for. That's one of the economic benefits of the practice. And then also streamlining. Since it's all in one system, it's actually more efficient for me to practice law because I'm able to not have to reinvent the wheel every time. I know I get a lot of the same cases on my VLO over and over. I can, when I see that issue come up again, I can go and run a search and find all the previous work I've done on it, the statutes, the law, pull that up and just customize it for, you know, this new client, but not have to go back and redo it all. So that is also, you know, time-saving. Those are some of the benefits, like economic benefits, I guess, to running the VLO. And then the work-life balance, too, is especially attractive. The flexibility of running a virtual office. I can practice remote wherever I can access the Internet. So.
Well, it's interesting because I've had a number of discussions over the years on work-life balance, and I think I've concluded that there is no such thing. That if you want to be successful, you really gotta, you know, the old expression of putting the nose to the grindstone. But right. That at any one moment you're doing one thing or the other, and there's no such thing there as balance. But the one thing, of course, that you do mention, which is I think quite apropos, is the flexibility for you to determine what you want to do when.
Yes. And where you go, you're not tied to the law office. And I've worked with, I'm working with some attorneys now who are, you know, easing into retirement. They're looking to, you know, sell their law practice or leave, and they still want to, they want to ease out of it. So they, but they want to start going on, you know, cruises and taking the yacht around, and they want to be able to practice at the same time. So they're able to use the flexibility of the virtual law office to do that.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that before. I do a lot of coaching and consulting with lawyers who want to sell their practice and, of course, others who want to buy a practice. Mm-hmm. And I had never thought about using the Internet as a way of either easing out or in the alternative to sell your practice as is but stay on as a consultant, but stay on through the Internet.
And that's what some people who are that we're working with, they're retiring, and that's what they want to do, is be kind of counsel, but do it remotely. And it's also a good transition for women, for example, who, you know, need to leave to take, you know, care of a young family, but continue to work. We have quite a few female attorneys who are interested in using it for that reason, to continue their careers and to work for the firm and then transition back in when they're ready. Or build their own practice, you know.
Well, I can understand for a woman who wants to continue the practice that she's already had and do it this way. How would this work, though, for an existing physical firm, a firm with on-site premises, and have the attorney, the woman, stay at home and run her part of the practice that way? How would that be different than what we knew before as remote, you know, connecting remotely through Internet, through an intranet with the firm and so forth. How is this different?
It probably wouldn't be that much different, other than she would be able to retain her own clients through the VLO, because it does have the client portal, and she'd be able to, you know, do some bringing in some clients on her own, maybe that way, working with the paralegals, because the permissions-based system, so she could work with the paralegals, could send her stuff through the VLO.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about a couple of issues pertaining to the ethics of the practice. Mm-hmm. Are there any others that VLO technology addresses? I think we've talked about the conflicts check.
Right. Authorized practice of law is probably the largest question that I get a lot. Also, protecting client confidences, especially when practicing on remote devices, that's another ethics issue that comes up. Because you have to, when you run a virtual law office and you're practicing it on your iPhone, for example, you need to understand how the technology works. You know, just be careful with your passwords and your login and just encrypting things and having a backup system in place.
In other words, doing it with an iPhone may not be the best way of handling it.
Right. Well, there are ways to do it safely. So I guess some of the ethics issues that come up with are just the day-to-day practice with using technology, not so much with the virtual law office as any type of technology where you're communicating client attorney information, but that raises some ethics concerns with state bar.
Okay. Well, let's give our listeners again the URL for Virtual Law Technology.
Okay. It's www.VLOTECH.com.
All right. And if you had a crystal ball, how do you think that this will impact the practice of law?
Oh, well, the public demand for online legal services is going to drive the legal profession into integrating some form of virtual law practice. That's my prediction. An article came out about 2 weeks ago in the International Herald Leader, and it was discussing the steady rise over the last 10 years in the number of pro se litigants we have in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the trend was it's no longer lower income, it's middle income as well. And there's a strong need for reform in providing affordable and convenient legal services. And the clients now, I mean the public, the general public, is comfortable. They do business transactions online all the time. The security is there. I think the demand is actually going to push the legal profession into providing these services online. And a virtual law office seems to be, you know, a viable solution to that economic need. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, one more change in the legal profession that we have to keep our eye on. Okay. Stephanie, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.